Good morning. It's 7:01 a.m. on Thursday, February the 23rd. It's about as nasty as I want to walk in. It's raining. It's a light rain, but it's raining. There's occasional snowflakes mixed in. In places around, there's little patches of snow. Apparently, it snowed overnight. We're expecting more snow by the end of the day. My parka is waterproof, so that's not a big deal. My pants aren't. But the long johns are keeping the wet denim away from my legs, so that's fine. So yeah, yesterday the timekeeping, that was the second day for timekeeping. Timekeeping went well yesterday. I didn't lose track. I was much more focused on, okay, where am I in my time cycle for the day? How much has gone by? How much do I have left? What do I have left to do? And the best news was that I got 2K in yesterday. I got 2,000 words in, which is a long way from what my normal target goal is. But getting back into the groove is not actually something I'm really good at doing, like, bang. I sort of have to work up to it. So, you know, 2K yesterday, 3K today, maybe. It could happen. I don't really have a lot to talk about today. I've been up for an hour. I've had a cup of coffee. Actually, I've been up for close to an hour and a half. I have had a cup of coffee. I haven't had any food. I have a muck mouth. I've got a headache. And I tried to get out at sunrise because I thought, ooh, there's some clouds out there. No, the sunrise was, I'm sure the sun came up. The sky is getting lighter now, but the cloud deck goes all the way to the horizon and beyond. So there was no cheerful sunrise. But I'll be back in plenty of time to fix breakfast and get myself settled before I start the timekeeping cycle at 8 o'clock. I'm walking fast too, so I'm a little bit winded. Thank you. So it's been a while since I've been out when the weather has been bad. I usually chicken out or stay in where sane people stay. But I don't know if I mentioned this, I put up my new calendar. I finally got it for 2017, my wall calendar. And of course it came rolled up in a tube, which meant it did not want to lay down flat. And the plastic memory was not releasing. I had it under flat, under a weight for a week, didn't do much. So I just bit the bullet and put a tack in each corner to keep it flattened out. And when I did that, I had an opportunity to go back and look at the first quarters for the last couple of years. And last year's first quarter was bad. It was a sea of red. I think I walked 2 days in January. I might not have walked at all last February. March was not much better. I did get a few words written in March, but then I had another 2 months before I finally got back into Milk Run. So there was a lot of red last year. There was a lot of red until I got to about July. And the year before, 2014, there was a much more the first quarter was much less red. There was still a lot of red, but there was much less of it compared to this year, where there was some red in January, but it was mostly green. There was some this year there's a couple of days, three or four maybe, I don't know, I'd have to go look again. But there's some red, but it's mostly green. And today's the 23rd. Today's the day to put a green mark on the board. And even though it's crappy out, being aware that this walking thing helps manage my mood. It helps manage manage my ADHD. And it's an opportunity for me to take 20, 40 minutes, depending on how you look at it, for myself. To think about, just think about things, to think about the story, to think about what I'm doing, where I'm going, how anything works. I'm pondering what I want to submit for Colorado Gold Workshops in September. I've got to do it in the next, I think I have until mid-March, but I want to get it in while the load of incoming proposals is small. As we get closer to the deadline, that list is going to get longer. They come in every week. I get them every week because I'm on the review committee. And so, this 3, 4, 6, 5, they've not been big numbers. Monk post. So I'm thinking a lot about what I might want to submit. Amazon is a big topic. Last year I did the Field Guide to the Amazon. And it was stupidly well received. The things that to me are training wheels stuff are bare beginner stuff. Things that I really expected people to know and understand. Nobody even was aware of. or not everybody, but a lot of people were not even aware of. So there's a push to get me to redo that one. I could revisit the field guide. One thing I didn't talk about was select and the exclusivity issue. Car to go by. But there's also like a base camp. There's also like, how do you do it? Apparently, my willingness to go to KDP and work through the system problems is not necessarily the way a lot of people approach it. And they're kind of afraid of it. So there's a couple of levels that I could get into for Amazon. So think about that. Think about doing a workshop on social media marketing. Because so many people don't really get it. In large part because they have a mistaken, narrow view of what constitutes social media. And they don't understand the theoretical foundation of social media. So there's something to do there. It was an interesting conversation on Sifu yesterday, where I made just an offhand comment that the traditional path to publication is high risk compared to the low risk of indie publishing. And I had somebody come back to me and say, what? How do you figure it's low risk to be an indie, but high risk to be traditionally published? And so I had to spend some time going through what criteria I was using to analyze risk. And the goal for me as a writer is to reach an audience. And the obstacles to reaching an audience in the traditional path are extensive. So to get into one of the bigs, you have to get an agent, you have to convince an agent that your book is worth buying or representing so that they can feel confident in trying to represent it to editors. Editors then are going to want to mold it so that it fits more cleanly into their product lines. Then they take your book, assuming you get it accepted that far, then they take your book and they do things to it that you have no control over, but which have a direct bearing on whether or not, and to what degree, your book gets in front of a reader so that the reader can make a decision as to whether or not to buy it, which is really, doesn't matter which path you go down, eventually you come to the point where you put your book in front of a reader. And the reader has to decide whether or not to buy it. And it actually came from the whole thing came from a basic conversation about was traditional science fiction publishing and indie science fiction publishing, were they two separate markets? And the answer is yes. It isn't a question of are they. The only question is how can you think that they're the same? And it comes down to a technical definition of market. A market is a place where buyers and sellers offer goods, services, and it's largely, the pricing is largely controlled by supply and demand. So supply and demand, if you have a lot of buyers and a lot of sellers, then it's much more difficult for individual sellers or individual cartels of sellers to control pricing. In a place where you have few buyers and a lot of sellers, prices tend to be depressed because it's a buyer's market. It's a buyer's market. They get to say how much they're going to pay. And if you don't want to take their pay, then okay, there's 20 other people who will. So the science fiction market is, when you look at it from the perspective, through the lens of market, of traditional path or indie path. The traditional path, the writer is selling to a publisher. They're not selling to a reader, they're selling to a publisher. Ideally, their success depends on whether or not a reader buys the book, but much of what goes into the reader's decision to buy the book is out of the writer's control. So, publishers can overprice. Publishers, in fact, do overprice for ebooks. Publishers don't really. Now, publishers put covers on that they think will sell books that may or may not actually sell the book. If publishers knew how to sell every book, they would only have bestsellers, and that's not what's happening. That's one of the reasons that they've stopped really supporting mid-list authors, because the investment is too high for them. And I understand it. I get it. So, if looking at writing as a career rather than writing a book, if your book doesn't sell, your publisher is not likely to give you a second contract. It's not even it doesn't sell a lot. If it doesn't sell what they expect, they may not give you another contract. So they expect 5,000, they expect 1,000 a week, and you only sell 500 a week. You're not going to get another contract. It's not going to happen. I'd be happy to sell 500 a week, actually. Actually, I think I do. Okay, anyway. But that's the side point. But so the risks in following a traditional path for a career writer are high. They are not insubstantial. Compared to an indie where I know the publisher is going to accept my next book because it's me. I know my book is going to get an opportunity to be in front of a reader. And so the two paths equal when the book gets in front of a reader. And the goal is to get your book in front of a reader no matter which path you're going. The indirect path through a publisher is high risk because you may not make back your investment. Your book may never see the light of day. It may never get through an editor. It may never get through to an editor. It may never find an agent. It may never see publication. Whereas, and the risk is high. There's a good chance that that's going to happen, that because only 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 10,000 makes it to get to publication. Guess I wasn't walking as fast as I thought. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.